Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's read this scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 21. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord after the flood. This was after the flood. And took every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So before the flood came, the Lord told him, every clean animal of each kind brings seven pairs into the ark. Seven pairs. And after the flood, he took from the clean animal to offer it to the Lord. Clean animal. So he took a pair. One pair divided by 14, or you took one divided by seven, you still get 14%. In other words, you know, after the flood, the offering he brought to the Lord was 14-point-something%, 14.28%. So 10% was tithe, 4.28% was offering he brought to the Lord. And verse 21, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. It was a natural offering, but the Lord smelled, Lord is the Spirit, and he smelled something in the realm of the Spirit. Offered in the natural, translate into a spiritual aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse or allow the ground to be cursed for man's sake. Because in the first place, he wasn't the one who cursed it. So he allowed it. Then he said, because of the offering, and after that he sealed the covenant with Noah with the rainbow, and he said, I will never allow the earth to be destroyed like in the days of Noah. Amen. So in other words, you know, Noah's physical sacrifice of natural substances ascended to God as a spiritual aroma. So God, being spirit, received this offering not merely as a burnt sacrifice, but as a fragrant, soothing, spiritual expression of faith and obedience. So when we bring our tithes and offering, that's what it translates into. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bring our tithes to acknowledge all that we have is yours. We worship you with our tithes. Thank you, Lord, for blessing all the remaining that we have. And the offering that we bring as seed that we sow shall be multiplied back to us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious holy name. Everyone say, amen. 2 weeks ago, I taught on praying deep, you know, deep calleth unto deep, like a roar of the waterfall. And I said, you know, during the students' prayer, the November student prayer was, they were praying very well. So Thursday, Pastor Kevin just waited upon the Lord. He received direction from God. Then Friday came, I was praying, digging deep. I wasn't praying with the fire, the fervency, but I was digging deep. On Saturday, then I understood what I dug out. There are two kinds of prayer, you know. Many times you pray, it's flowing with the river. That's not praying deep. That's praying, releasing tremendous power into the realm of the Spirit, pushing the realm of the Spirit. And one reason could be you're praying somebody out of death, escape death, and that's the kind of praying. But praying deep is digging something deep in the Spirit. If you don't pray deep, you'll never get the answer. So most of the time, your prayer is flowing like a river, and it flows, and it's tremendous flow. But pray deep is not a tremendous flow of the river, but it's digging deep into the Spirit. Now, people have been asking, I think at least two people, how to pray deep. To pray deep, there are two ways. You must be in two environments to pray deep. One, I give you an example of Brother Hagen. One time he was praying an hour, the devil spoke to him after 1 hour of unknown tongues. He said, you have wasted 1 hour praying unknown tongues. And Brother Hagen spoke to the devil. He said, I'll pray 2 hours. You said it, I'm going to double up. He prayed 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, the devil spoke to him. Now you wasted 2 hours. He said, now, since you say that, I'm going to double up. I'm going to pray 4 hours. And he prayed 4 hours. After 4 hours, the devil spoke to him. You wasted 4 hours. He said, I'm going to double up and pray 8 hours in unknown tongues. When he went into the third time, he hit the gusher. He hit the depths of the spirit. Out of his spirit gushed out something, and he prayed out and he interpreted his tongues. There's going to be a revival that comes after the Second World War. The Lord spoke to him. In 1947, the healing revival came. That's praying deep. One way to pray deep is you spend hours praying. But most of you will be busy working. You don't have the time to spend praying hours. So the next place that you pray deep is, in our church, the place that you pray deep is Sunday morning. Even the student prayer was praying. The student prayer flow is much stronger this November than ever. And it is the kind of environment that, you know, we pray deep. You're able to go deep because the Holy Spirit is bringing you to pray deep. In other words, you must be in that kind of environment. Amen. So, when the Lord called me to Bible school, to come back and start a Word of Faith church, a praying church. You want to be able to pray deep, you must have a church that prays. It creates an environment for you to pray. Let me show you something. One Sunday when we were praying here, somebody walked in here just after a few words in tongues, just simply praying, and he received his healing, his headache all gone. That's not prayer, that's healing. Because when we pray, we are in the presence of God because God is in us. But when we pray, His presence out here is the manifested presence. When you are in the manifested presence, you may receive a healing, and that's not prayer, not because you pray, because the church been praying and the presence is manifestation. And the manifestation can be so strong that even people with cancer can be healed like that. Or somebody on a wheelchair just walk up. That's not prayer. You don't have to pray, you still get your healing. That's healing. That's not prayer. Prayer is either you flow with the Holy Spirit like a river, rivers of living water. Especially if somebody has a need, it's not about praying deep. It's praying with the fast and furious, fiery flow of the Holy Spirit to pray you out of your crisis, out of your tragedy that's coming ahead. Amen. But when you pray deep, there isn't that fire, but there's a depth that you need to draw out the things that God needs to tell you. Amen. I draw up something. On Saturday, I understood something. And it's about a change that's coming in the new year. Amen. Let me say it again. You'll never pray deep unless you spend hours. You go out of job, you spend hours, also depends. Praying at home, more than 4 hours, brother, he prayed out. That's going to be a healing revival. Amen. Impacted the whole world. That's why it was deep in the spirit. That's why I say, when we pray, take it seriously. Really go in to pray. Because for all you know, when you get into that realm, He takes you deep. There's something you need to pray out concerning your future. Amen. Definitely there are things concerning somebody's future here that need to pray out. And does it need to pray deep? I don't know. Depends, you know. There's something that you cannot work it out. But if in the environment where we are praying, like I said, you know, the spirit begins to manifest. Even people need a healing. A headache was a simple need of healing. But if the manifestation is so great, cancer will be healed like that. So it's in that environment, then He can move on you so that you have to yield to Him, then you go deep. It doesn't just happen, you know. Just walk into a church, any church. It doesn't happen that way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. All right, let me get to my message proper. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? God reveals his plans to his friends. Heavenly Father reveals his plan to his children, not just what he wants you to do, but what he is doing on the earth. And this is a remarkable privilege reserved for those who have cultivated a deep intimacy with him. One area we cultivate this intimacy is to pray, really go into the Spirit, flow with him and pray. Pray, flowing with the Holy Ghost. In Genesis chapter 18, talk about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was imminent. Yet before destruction fell, the Lord came down and said something astonishing to Abraham. It was a statement that will reveal the nature of their relationship and set a pattern for how God relates to his friend throughout all generations. Now, and a verse that says it was through Abraham, amen? That means it wasn't through Isaac or Jacob. It was through Abraham that all God's plan was fulfilled. But of course, Isaac and Jacob had a part to play. The 12 tribes, they had a part to play, even though after that they have been backslidden and in slavery in Egypt for 430 years, but they had a part. But it's because of Abraham, the plan was fulfilled. The scripture didn't say because of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all his descendants, 12 tribes. No. The key is the one man. In the family, in your family, you could be that one man. The next generation after will be blessed. And it's through Abraham. He said, it's through Abraham. You read carefully Genesis 8. It's through Abraham the seed will come. That means Jesus will come. If it depends on the 12 tribes, Jesus will not come. It's because of Abraham's covenant. God brought them out of Egypt. Amen. The question that reveals everything, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And the context was, God was about to allow the destruction of two entire cities because of their wickedness. He also planned to rescue Abraham's nephew Lot and his family before the devastation began. And the revelation is this. The Lord chose not to hide his plans from Abraham, not because he was unsure or God needed counsel, you know, but because Abraham had become someone God trusted with his heart. This moment shows us that revelation is a gift of relationship. You have a relationship, but your relationship, is it deep? Is there an intimacy between you and God? We can study from Abraham's example, you know. The secret of the Lord. Who receives secrets? God does not broadcast his plan to everyone. He reveals his secrets to his friends, to those who fear him and walk closer with him. And to begin with, we are in a better position than Abraham, than many in the Old Testament. We are the friends of God. And the pattern of revelation, Psalm 25 verse 14, it's not just Genesis. The secret of the Lord is with those who reverence him, fear him. Amen. And he will show them his covenant. We have a covenant with God. But what's in the covenant that we have with God is still been unfolded. Amen. And our translation makes this even clearer. The Lord is the friend to those who reverence him. He teaches them his covenant. Same verse. In other words, he revealed his covenant to his friends. Right? Revelation is not about intelligence or theological training. It's about intimacy. It flows through relationship, not curiosity. Your curiosity will not receive revelation. Let me show you something else about prayer. You know, I told you before, you know, the pastor in Shanghai asked me to go and teach in his Bible school. I pray about it. I said, no, I'm not going to teach in Bible school. You know what I was told now? The government, China government shut them down. Don't allow them to do. If it's God's plan, you can do. He cannot do. My students are doing. Why? Thank you, Father. There's this woman who came. She was a chief financial officer of the big museum, the National Museum, and she came to school here. You know what she said? She's going to come and finish the whole course. And she she's so receptive and she can pray. I said, my goodness, very unusual. Praise God, very unusual. I thought, you know, you're tired, redeemed. Oh, I'm spiritually, oh my God. Amen. We have some unusual students. Thank you, Father, you praise. Why Abraham? Why God chose to reveal secret things to Abraham? He speak intimately to Abraham because he was not merely a servant. In those days, they were not sons of God. They were servants. But a trusted friend and a partner in covenant. Later, scripture confirmed this beautiful reality. Abraham believed God and he was called the friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23. So it's not my idea, you know. So he entrusts his secrets to those who will steward revelation with wisdom, prayer, and obedience. So Abraham was a man who walked with God consistently over many years. That's why God asked, shall I hide this from him? I mean, it's a statement. God would not hide something. He must go and come down and tell. I mean, Jesus said that right hand of the Father had to come down and go and tell Abraham. After the meal, you know, he ate and drank in Abraham's tent. And then after that, he said, shall I hide, you know? Right, there's nothing about, you know, you can learn something from there, you know. In the business, right, you always eat and drink together. After that, you tell each you what deals are made, right? So Jesus, after he ate the meal with Abraham, he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I was about to do? He wanted to save Lot, you know, and his family. Three keys that open heaven's secrets. One, he walked by faith, not by sight. Amen? A lot of preachers are still walking by sight. They see what's happening, right? They think I'm not called to pastor this church. If I walk by sight, I would have closed this church and moved to Shanghai long ago and cry. You know, at that time, the government there wasn't that strict, now even stricter. Abraham obeyed God when there was no visible evidence. He left Ur without a map. Genesis chapter 12. He lived in tents while believing for a city. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 to 10 talks about he believing for a city. Walking by faith builds trust in our souls, and God can share his secrets with those who trust him completely. Abraham trusted him completely. I mean, I dare not say I can match Abraham's faith, okay? He sacrificed his son. So what was it about Abraham that caused God to reveal his plans? Through the careful study of his life, we discover three key qualities that mark Abraham as a friend of God. One, he walked by faith, not sight. Two, he built altars everywhere he went. In other words, wherever he went, when you get promoted, you remember God. Wherever he went, he builds an altar, not a mansion. Amen? Now, Wenzhou people, they are known businessmen. You know what they do? Everywhere they go and start a business, first, they buy building, they have God in mind. They want to start a church. They'll buy places wherever they go. In Europe, in China, they'll build. They are known for that. And they will build and they call their pastor from Wenzhou to come up. They pay them salary, whatever, come up. You know, if they're from Wenzhou, they're in Shanghai, they call them to Shanghai and they pastor the church. They buy the buildings and let them use all the expensive cars. They just use. That's why Wenzhou people are prosperous. They are known businessmen. Amen. You go to Italy, you find a lot of businesses owned by Wenzhou people. Right? Every place he went, he worshipped God first. These altars represent submission, surrender, and intimacy. You worship him, but right? Revelation comes to worshippers, to those who put God first in every season, every location. Worship creates the atmosphere for divine encounter. In other words, don't care how big the deal is, you ask God. If you say, don't take it, don't take it. If you say, take it, you take it. That's how you acknowledge him. Thirdly, he obeys promptly and completely. Abraham didn't negotiate with God. He left his homeland immediately when God called. He circumcised his household the same day God commanded it. Genesis 17, verse 23. He left early in the morning for Mount Moriah without delay to sacrifice his son. That's the ultimate. God entrusted his plan to people who obey, not merely to people who agree with God's plan. Amen. Then when you're fulfilling, on the way fulfilling God's plan, He won't hide anything from you. Now last week we talked about He Himself bear witness with your spirit, and along the way you may stray off, He always will draw you back. Amen. Abraham was trained for trust. It doesn't just happen. God trained him. Abraham didn't start his journey in Genesis 18. He started in Genesis 12 when God first called him. The man who received God's secrets have been through decades of preparation, testing, and refinement. When you get tested, sometimes you get nonsense from me. Amen. Question is, can you take it? You decide. It depends on your character, right? God took Abraham through intentional separation. Separate him and say, leave your hometown and your family. I mean, your relatives. Before God could use a man publicly, He separated him privately. Abraham walked a long distance until the Lord revealed that he had reached the promised land. He waited 25 years for a son of promise. He waited for the fulfillment of the covenant that he will be father of many nations. And he did not see the complete fulfillment during his earthly life. He saw it in, they call Abraham's bosom, when Jesus descended there and revealed himself to be the Messiah that he was waiting for. Amen. What God's silence accomplished? Training in patience. When He's silent, you learn to wait. The years of waiting taught Abraham to wait on God's timing. He learned that delays are not God's denials, and that divine timing is always perfect, even when it tests our faith. And you build trust. Every season of silence build deeper trust. Abraham learned that God could be trusted even when he couldn't be seen, heard, or understood. You don't understand fully what he's doing. This trust became the foundation of that friendship. Amen. I'm not sure whether it can apply between human friends. You know, in God we can. And you develop maturity, time with God, both the speaking seasons and the silent ones. Matured Abraham's character. He became a man who could carry the weight of divine revelation without becoming prideful or presumptuous. And you learn a lot about someone by what they do when God is silent. Abraham's faithfulness in the waiting season prepared him for revealing seasons. The ultimate test for trust. God tested Abraham's heart of worship in the most profound way possible. Covenant requires a heart that loves God more than the gift. That's why Isaac, the long-awaited son of promise, was placed on the altar, Genesis 22. God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham's undivided heart. Would Abraham love the giver more than the gift? Will he trust God even when the command seems to contradict the promise? From your son, right, the seed's going to come, but now sacrifice his son. So two contradicting ideas. First and foremost, you say, my son, the descendants will come, you know, now he's telling me sacrifice. So what do? You obey the latest instruction without questioning. Ultimate test of trust. Abraham rose early. This was not blind faith. It was trained trust. Abraham had learned through years of relationship that if God promised it, if God asked for it, then God can provide it again. He give it to you. He wants it. Give it to Him. He'll give it back to you. Amen. The ultimate trust, test of trust, progressive surrender. Trust is not spoken. It is proven through obedience and under pressure. Mount Moriah revealed the depths of Abraham's trust and proved him worthy of God's deepest secrets. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Generational stewardship. Genesis 18, verse 19. God said, "For I have known him." Amen. "I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him follow his ways, that they keep the way of the Lord. First, Abraham kept the way of the Lord. Then he will command his household. That means he teaches his children the ways of God. What are you teaching your children? He commands his servant after the ways of God. Amen. When God gives you children, you're entrusted the responsibilities of teaching the ways of God that is found in the word of faith. Because they have to walk by faith. They have to learn to walk by faith. So what are you training your children? Amen. What am I training my students? They are my spiritual children. Amen. They went back and I can see how they begin to share the truth. I will know whether they catch it. When I found out that somebody is meddling with some charismatic stuff that's not God, I cut them off. I have nothing to do with them. Amen. I refuse to compromise. Amen. Thank you, Father. For I have known him. Do you what's the meaning of the word known? God trained Abraham to think generationally, not just personally. The Lord revealed his plan to Abraham because he knew Abraham would teach his household and pass on this covenant faithfulness. God gives secrets to people who will steward revelation wisely. He entrusted his word to those who will not only receive it, but will also invest it into the next generation. If you benefited from this truth, what are you doing with the truth? Are you imparting it to the next generation? Abraham was trusted because he was faithful, not just to obey, but to teach others to obey. Amen. It's not just about your obedience or disobedience. You will teach the next generation your obedience or disobedience. Amen. What Abraham learned through obedience, God is faithful. Every promise God makes, he keeps. Time, it tests our faith, but it never diminishes God's faithfulness to his words. God keeps his word. What God speaks will come to pass. His word does not return void, and his purposes will be accomplished in his perfect timing. There are things. God doesn't waste pain. Every trial, every test, every season of waiting serves a divine purpose. God redeems every difficulty and uses it to prepare us for greater things. You cry, Brother Hagin said one time, the things you cried about, one day you look back, you laugh, you'll be glad. Amen. So every time Abraham trusted God and obeyed, he came to understand God more deeply. His relationship and intimacy with God depended with each act of faith. Trust grew through experience. Experience built confidence in God's character. What do you trust? Someone's character, all right? Do you know God's character in order to trust him? Chosen, tested, proven, trusted. For I have known him. The word known in Hebrew carries profound meanings. Meaning it means chosen, tested, proven, and trusted. I know him means I can trust him. That's why God said it's through Abraham the seed's going to come. For I know him. He will teach his children, command his children and his household the ways of God. If he doesn't keep the ways of God, can he command his children the ways of God? You will walk away from the ways of God. Can you command your children the ways of God? You couldn't. Amen. I not only know him, God said, I have chosen. Of course, he never makes mistakes. He chose the right one. He tested him, not because God didn't know him. God, through circumstances, will test him. Amen. Sacrifice your son, Mount Moriah. It was an ultimate test. But God knew he would pass the test. God doesn't test to fail you. He tests you to pass you. He tests you to approve you. It's different from school. The school, you know, the school tests you to find out how much you know. So you pass or fail. No, when God tests you, He knows that you will pass the test. That's why He put you through the test by giving you the assignment. Amen. Tested and proven and trusted. So God entrusted Abraham with the covenant because He knew Abraham was faithful. Every trials and testing prove him to be faithful. Amen. Not the 12 tribes of Israel, you know. Not that his descendants. It's not for Abraham. That's why God, because of Abraham, and God redeemed them, saved them, brought them out of Egypt. These guys, they've really forgotten the ways of God. They don't even keep the covenant anymore. God brought them out of Egypt, not because of them. It's because of Abraham. Amen. You better know this truth. Amen. You want the best for your children? You better check it up on yourself. He obeyed under pressure. When the commands were difficult and costly, Abraham still obeyed. Pressure reveals character. And Abraham's obedience under pressure proved his soul, his heart, his mind, his emotions, and his will. He worshipped in uncertainty. When he couldn't see the outcome or understand the path, Abraham built altars and worshipped God. His worship was not dependent on his circumstances. He believed during the delay. 25 years of waiting didn't erode his faith. Instead, the delay refined it. Abraham grew stronger in faith as time passed, not weaker. He walked humbly after failure. Even when Abraham, he made mistakes, he listened to his wife, trying to have a son with Haggai, the slave, servant. So even when Abraham made a mistake, he returned to God with humility. His failures didn't disqualify him because he remained teachable and repentant. And revelation comes to those who are trusted to fulfill God's plan completely. God shares his heart with those who have proven they will steward it well. God shares his heart to make Abraham a partnership. Immediately after God revealed his plan, Abraham interceded for Sodom. This was not coincidence, it was God's purpose. The Lord told Abraham about the coming destruction because he wanted Abraham to stand in the gap. God doesn't reveal secrets for entertainment or to satisfy curiosity. He reveals them. That's why you have to be serious with God. You want the deep things of God, the things that's in the depths of the Spirit, you have to be serious to dig it out in prayer. You got to get into that environment. And I present you the environment. We have Sunday morning. We have the prayer group. Amen. God doesn't reveal secrets for entertainment or for because you're curious. He reveals them for prayer and partnership. When God shares his heart with you, he's inviting you to participate in his purposes through prayer, obedience, and faith. First prayer, to prayer, you dig it out. Then to prayer, do you step into it to fulfill it. Amen. And by faith, you fulfill it. And through obedience, continuous obedience, God had known that Abraham would fulfill the covenant he made with him. His plan was for Abraham to be the father of many nations through his seed, that is Jesus Christ himself. Amen. God did not fail. Jesus did come through Abraham's descendants. God's plan for Abraham extended far beyond his lifetime, the covenant fulfilled. Through Abraham, the seed would come, the promised Messiah who would bless all nations. Abraham will prepare the way for Jesus' first coming, establishing a pattern for faith that will echo through generations. Through Abraham, though Abraham did not see the complete fulfillment during his earthly life, he did see it when Jesus went into Abraham's bosom to reveal himself as the Messiah. In that moment, Abraham was born again, eventually went up to heaven, having finally witnessed the full fruition of God's promise to him. God knew through Abraham that the covenant will be kept. God trusted Abraham because he knew Abraham will be proven faithful through decades of testing by circumstance, waiting, and obedience. God knew before he chose you. Amen. He chose you into this church to pray. So you better pray seriously. So will God trust you with His secrets? The Heavenly Father will reveal His plan with us when He knows we will fulfill it, both individually and corporately. And sometimes He does, you know, He does reveal to people who will not fulfill it also. Amen. That's why there are people who never fulfill God's plan for their life. The same principles that qualify Abraham still apply today. So He's looking for people who will walk by faith. Trust God when you cannot see the path ahead. Build your altars. Make worship your first response in every season. Amen. Especially when He blessed you. Don't forget. Praise God. Will God trust you with His secret? Yes, you obey Him promptly. Respond to God's word with immediate obedience. Think generationally. Steward revelation to impart to those who come after you. God is still asking the same question. Shall I hide from them what I'm doing? Your answer is written in how you live, worship, obey, and trust. Because become a friend of God and He will share His heart with you. Amen. In the first place, you are His friend. Because Jesus said in John 15, verse 15, no longer I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. Amen. He was talking to His disciples. But I have called you friends, especially after He died and rose again. For all things I heard from my Father, I made known to you up to now. Before He died and rose again, He called them friends. He made known to them. After He died and rose again, they got born again. They became His friends. All the things that you need to know concerning you, He will make known to you. Of course, He won't tell you everything. Amen. He won't tell you everything, even concerning yourself. He won't tell you everything. One, you may not be able to handle it. Two, you may take and run before the time and destroy your own self. Amen. So this profound declaration from Jesus echoes God's intimate relationship with Abraham. Just as Abraham was a friend with God, whom God shared His heart, Jesus is our friend. In friendship with the Lord, divine truths shall be revealed. However, we have to be trusted by the Heavenly Father like Abraham. Do you have every friend that you can trust? No. There are so-called friends that you cannot trust. Likewise, we are friends, every believer are friends of the Lord, but not everyone He can trust. Some people I cannot even trust, let alone God trust them. However, we have to be trusted by the Heavenly Father like Abraham to completely fulfill His plan. His plan is not only for us and our families, but we are to be mindful that it's for others whom the Lord entrusts us as our mission. Amen. Yes, you do have a mission on this earth. You're not just a child of God, you're also a friend. You're a child by default. Because you're born again, you're, amen, by default. You're His friend, but not necessarily He is your friend. Jesus said, I call you friend because you're born again. That doesn't mean He is your friend. Amen. You are a child by default. That doesn't mean He can trust you to be His friends, to reveal. Amen. Don't talk about anything else. Concerning you and your own family, He cannot even tell you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy is your name. Samaro sukuramanga. Imosura manchunahi. Denske nilamanga sombro. Worthy is your name, oh Jesus, you're my friend. You call me friend. I'm your friend. Am I? Zoramanda Mirando, so among a So while praying, another thought came to me. Idamansa Nanga Sombro, Yotamala Matsunohe. Oh, Yema Sando, listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. That's why I keep saying that, when we are praying, don't feel like praying, so you pray. Seriously pray. Because one time in the Bible school, the leader said, just pray 10 minutes in tongues. 5 minutes, I feel like stopping, but I submitted. And from there on, I had a breakthrough. Because they are praying at a different level. I want to break into that level. So every time we come together and pray, be serious. Now, the other thought that came to me is this. And you sense that I'm praying, there's a flow. Be serious. Go with me with the flow. Last time, I used to say, piggyback. Piggyback on me spiritually and go with me. Now, and the other thought is this. When I go deep, go with me. That's how we pray deep. That's how we piggyback. Then I take you. That's, instead of you going deep, and I can take you deep. Now, I haven't experienced that before. Amen. I pray deep, I've dug deep before, but I've not taken somebody else deep, but I believe it can be done. Amen. Total answer, but it has to do with you. I may be praying, sense to pray deep. I may just go pray deep. But if you don't pray flowing with me, when I go deep, you cannot go. You won't be able to go. Because you've been praying surface. Oh yeah, my child distract me, my child distract you. My child is spread me when praying. Prayer is an altar. Abraham built altars. When you pray, you're building an altar. Altar can be an altar of worship. It can be an altar of prayer other than worship. It can be an altar of supplication, intercession. These are all altars. I told you there are a lot about prayer. I don't know yet. You don't say. Amen. Let me repeat for your benefit. Somebody asked a question for your benefit. When come to prayer, time set aside, you come for prayer, set one mind. I'm building an altar. Not, then go and have your lunch. Fine. You have to go lunch because you have appointment. Fine. If you want to pray, you set a mind. I'm building an altar. You go with the flow. Where I flow, you flow. Many a time we teach how you flow. You listen to whoever has the flow, you go with that person. In a prayer group, when I pray with students, I may start off by listen to whoever. When I pray with people of the same spiritual level, I listen to who has the flow. Then I go with that person. Go with the flow. That flow is strong, go with it. That's what it takes. Time to pray is time of dedication. Prayer, dedicating to build an altar of not just worship, of waiting upon the Lord is also prayer. Prayer is simply come before the Lord. I'm waiting upon Him for instructions, or I can be flowing the Holy Spirit in prayer. Or He gave me assignment, then I pray the prayer of faith, or take the authority of your assignment in the name of Jesus, take authority over demonic spirits. Or I can be worshiping in unknown tongues. Or I can be deeping deep. But if I'm going that way, you tag along, piggyback. So when we pray, don't get distracted by your spouses. Don't get distracted by your kids. Don't get distracted by your phones. I got mine. I dug it up. It was a major decision. It is a major decision. You may have. I don't know. Because you asked the question, how to pray deep. Amen. Prayer time, Sunday mornings. All right, after service, prayer group. We don't have Saturday anymore. It's a time whereby you set aside, you build an altar. Amen. If you read the book of Ezekiel, from the altar will flow a river. Ezekiel will go knee deep, anchor deep, waist deep, flow from the Holy of Holies. What's that? Has the type and shadows of the church flowing from the church. The rivers of God, of the Holy Ghost. Old Testament are all types and shadows. It's a type of what it is today, the church, and what we are doing. When we come together as a church to pray, just like the Old Testament, from the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of David, flowing from there, that river Ezekiel, that was tabernacle of Moses, flowing from the Holy of Holies, that rivers, I think, are flowing eastwards. Eastward, southward, there is meaning. Amen. If you're not serious, you know, you won't get into the flow. And the Bible used rivers to depict a spiritual river. You cannot see. How do you know? Whoever, if I'm leading, if I sense it, I'm going with it. You don't know, you sense I'm praying deep, you don't feel like it, you go with me. You just flow with me, just get piggyback behind me and just go. Right? Whether you feel like it or not, building an altar takes faith. I mean, Abraham built the last altar or sacrificed his son, so it doesn't take faith. It takes faith. Sacrifice his son, that's worship. That speak of the prayer of worship. Lemora mancha nimblash the kura manga sohe. Yatsakama ranza sombro. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, you can spend 3, 4 hours, 5, 6 hours at home, maybe 8, right? To go deep. Or you can learn to piggyback on spiritually, right? When we are flowing, when I'm, especially now, we're talking about flowing. Is some of you have done it. I don't know how many of you have learned to flow. When the flow is strong, you go with it. But deep, I'm sure none of you has. I've not carried somebody to go deep and dig out. Not dig out for me. If you piggyback on me, and this is the thought I have, I may be able to dig it out for you. Right, but also, you have to be with me, you know. We are digging out from the Holy Spirit, not your spirit. See? That's why I say I can dig it out for you because I have the Holy Spirit also. But if you are not with me, then I'm not sure I can. See, you know. So, that's why when Brother Higgins said, I cannot do that for most people in the church. He prayed his Sunday school superintendent back from heaven. He said, I couldn't do it for most people, he said. It's in his book. Amen. So likewise, you know, there are things in the Holy Spirit, in the depths of the Holy Spirit for you. I have the Holy Spirit. I can't, you learn to piggyback on me. I can't dig it out for you. The problem is that for me, of course, I can do it. Amen. Keman skutur matanangi. Ilamotanambri. Get rid of your attitude. Learn to be humble, submissive. I'll teach you more things about prayer, but from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Father. Give you praise.